People talk by talking.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
You have no idea how to talk to a woman, do you?
Oh, I like to talk.
Whatever is in, whatever is now, whatever is happening, baby.
Mom, would you stop sounding like a radio talk show host?
What are you talking about?
I thought you'd never ask.
We're talking about marketing mouths. Many hospital marketing directors run departments that are understaffed and overworked. Sound familiar? Then stick around. Marketing Mouths features marketing experts, social media experts, IT experts, experts with information and insights that could be music to the ears of hospital marketing directors who need all the help they can get. And now, here's your host, Kim Preschel.
So I think we can all agree that there's one constant theme in today's healthcare landscape, and it's that of change. For physicians, hospital executives, and marketing professionals, navigating changing waters and remaining on course can definitely be challenging. So I'm excited to speak with our guest today, seasoned healthcare marketing professional Steve Kaiser, who knows firsthand how to navigate the frustration and confusion that comes with change. It doesn't have to be as difficult as we anticipate. So welcome, Steve. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you. Glad to join you.
So we'll just jump right in. And first, I want to talk about, you know, you have extensive experience working in a variety of disciplines within healthcare. So can you share some of that background and the path that led to where you are today?
Sure. Be glad to. I actually started in a different field with 2 degrees from the University of Washington. I began as a newspaper reporter and photojournalist. But I soon realized that I became bored, and I interned at a children's hospital. And that's really when I made my shift to marketing as well as the healthcare field. But I worked in other industries as well. So I worked in high-tech firms. I was with 3 startup manufacturers. And then I returned to healthcare about 9 years ago. And my latest position was as a product marketing director.
So from a healthcare marketer's perspective, how would you interpret the landscape today with all the change going on? What are your thoughts on that?
It's chaotic. There's no doubt about it. With all the changes going on, it really makes sense for somebody in that field to be flexible, be ready for the changes and uncertainty. You know, healthcare recently, maybe 7-8 years ago, healthcare reform started, and that's led to a lot of changes, including different reimbursement rates. And this is a fundamental difference. We've gone away from services for fee to reimbursements based on outcome. And that's really had a domino effect. And then with the change of presidents, the future is even more uncertain about what's going to happen. And so a lot of healthcare organizations are responding to all the changes with acquisitions, affiliations, and mergers. So it's tough keep up, and I think we should just expect that's the way it's going to be for a while.
So with this trend of healthcare entities adapting to this ever-evolving landscape, you know, we get that the change is necessary, but, you know, they're not launching these big changes for the heck of it. So what do you, you know, why do you think they're reacting? What do you think they're thinking about?
Well, I think that they're really concerned about what's happening. In other words, that the changes that will take place within the healthcare system, they don't take lightly. They're based on trying to prepare for what kinds of changes they anticipate. So it really is a difficult decision that management would avoid if they could. And frankly, too, you know, either you're on the management side or the other side, but if you could have the perspective of looking at it at a distance and think about, well, if we weren't going through these changes, it would probably only be worse later. So quite often, it's a reaction to other changes, and top management is thinking about how this is a survival reaction and that even improvements are a kind of change. So it doesn't mean it's necessarily negative, even though sometimes we might assume that's where it's going. And then the other change, too, is the other motivation is how there's just a shift in general. Regardless of everything else going on, there's a shift to be more consumer-centric and cost-sensitive. And that's something that's happened in just recent years as well. I'm thinking back 5 years ago, with my healthcare employer, we actually did some market research, and we asked consumers some questions to gauge their price sensitivity. And 5 years ago, to my surprise, they really weren't that sensitive to price. They were the price. They were willing to go ahead and pay the same high rate and didn't show a preference for wanting to make comparisons. In fact, some consumers even associated the idea that if you paid more, you're getting a higher quality kind of healthcare service. But then I was just at an association of healthcare innovators in the last couple of weeks, and executives were telling me that that's really changed. And now consumers are more price sensitive, and these other issues, we're putting more of the power of decision in the hands of the consumer, are making changes that management is noticing. And then the last reason that comes to mind is that these changes are taking place to proactively anticipate the competition. Other healthcare organizations are making changes. And if you're the last one that does, you're probably behind and be playing catch-up for a long time. So they're trying as best they can to be proactive to avoid a worse situation in the future.
So with your experience in other industries, do you draw on that experience for your healthcare marketing job? Because I, just from my own experience, I find that healthcare marketing as a whole tends to be a little bit behind as compared to other industries. So do you feel that that wealth of knowledge that you have in those other industries, you know, you can bring that forth to your, to a healthcare marketing role and help evolve it forward?
I think so. It's great to have a spectrum of choices available when you're thinking about how to cope with change. And if you've only known healthcare, you have more limited range of options that come to mind. And even though healthcare is and what may work for high tech doesn't necessarily work for healthcare, it's kind of a valuable exercise to go through in your mind and think about all these other choices that you have maybe experienced previously and think about why they apply or why they don't apply to healthcare. And I have noticed that even when we've had some executives come into healthcare from other industries, you can tell they're kind of struggling with that piece of it, that some things are not as relevant because healthcare is the threat you need. And just the complexity of healthcare alone makes a huge difference. We can't turn on a dime like some other industries can. We have probably more regulations than any other industry. And so they have to bear that in mind. It's kind of like trying to change the course of direction of a large ship. You've got to kind of wait for it to respond to the helm, and then it starts to actually change its direction.
So if you're dealing with a variety of stakeholders within your healthcare organization and possibly executive leadership might not be willing to adapt to change as quickly as maybe a healthcare marketer sees that it needs to happen, how would you approach that? I mean, what are some tips or ideas that you can give some healthcare marketers who have to struggle with management possibly not wanting to evolve as quickly as they would like?
Yeah, that's a good question, because quite often top execs are uneasy about it because they're focused more on the risk and the benefit. I'll give you an example of something that I went through, and it's when social media was still pretty new, so it was maybe 10 years ago. But I was advocating how there were some marketing benefits with us adopting some social media practices. And administration was very reluctant to dive in. They were hearing the horror stories of how it could just explode in your face and be a very negative experience. So the way I addressed it with the executives I was working with was a little step at a time, stop, appraise the situation, and then decide if we still want to go further, and then have a worst-case scenario plan. If they really do have this incredible, outrageous fear, what is it? And could there be a plan B to cope with that? So we went ahead and we launched our effort for social media with that in mind. So I had a plan that was in writing. I shared it with everybody we thought would be concerned. I wanted a consensus from the people who mattered most in matters like this. And we went on to step one, and I shared the results. I kept people in the loop, gave them updates, told them if her worst fears are coming true or what was really happening. And it's kind of funny, in a very short time after I did the infrequent updates, they really didn't want to hear the updates anymore. They could see a pattern. They saw that it was under control. The outrageous scenario that they thought of seemed so unlikely it would happen now. And they could see how there was just a benefit of having one more tool available that allowed you to stay in touch with the community. So it continued, and we never did have the oh my God kind of scenario, thankfully.
So that's actually really, really great. A really great preparation tip. Do you have any other suggestions for, you know, or resources or tools that you could recommend that would help adapt and prepare for change?
Well, I think there are some different networks available, like LinkedIn, where you can ask questions of people who are in your industry, and that can be a source of information. You know, in healthcare, though, I think that it is such a situation, you know, again, how other industries, sometimes what they do applies to healthcare, sometimes it doesn't, that if you're in a large organization especially, I think one of the best things you could do is just reach out. And reach out to people who are within your department as well as outside your department, and get a feeling for the culture of change within your organization. So some, even within the realm of healthcare, some organizations will have the process of how you can introduce the change that's different than another healthcare organization. So it's to your advantage to understand how it works where you are, and try early on to be the champion. So I was fortunate in my situation. Quite often my champion was my boss, and then I could approach other people that she worked with, and it was always with the knowing that I had this kind of safety net, or I could fall back if I needed some reinforcement of how I could foster the new idea and make sure as best I could that others were receptive to it too. And keep it small and do it in baby steps. You're much better off if you can try to implement a small change that could lead to other changes. But I think this whole notion of one huge big change is just not as popular now as maybe it used to be. It's just much easier to deal with incremental steps that are leading to something big. It doesn't start off as one colossal change.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think sometimes, though, it can be really challenging for maybe the smaller community hospitals that don't have the necessary resources invested in marketing as opposed to the large healthcare systems. And so I think you find a lot of healthcare marketers who are unsure of where to turn for that advice or that guidance or mentoring. So the LinkedIn, I think, is a really, really, really good suggestion. Do you have any other thoughts or ideas as far as networks?
With smaller hospitals in particular, because I started with an independent hospital that was licensed for 200 beds, had about 116 operations, but middle to small size. What I found was especially effective would be professional associations that you could belong to. There's a wealth of information, and there's quite a range just in the world of marketing. It could be public relations, it could be communications, it could be marketing, advertising. There's all those different realms. But especially with a smaller hospital, it's all about relationships within healthcare. Healthcare is famous for that. It's about how well do you know the people you work with. And so I always saw my relationship with people was not just working with them because of the project, but it was also an opportunity for me to help them understand how does marketing fit in with healthcare? Because people have a very different understanding of marketing depending on what experiences they've had before. And so some people might think marketing is just equal to an advertising campaign in newspapers. And they don't really understand the strategies that go behind it or this whole idea of making data-driven decisions, which is just essential, I think, nowadays. And so I would take time, as I get to know people, and explain to them the why of what I'm doing. And it's not about my personal preference. It's about what we have agreed as somebody working on the same team of a project, what we want to accomplish, what are the success metrics, just kind of real basic marketing 101 stuff. Share with other people, because most often they really are not aware of all that. And then it makes it so much easier. You have that credibility that if you feel compelled to suggest something new that might make somebody uncomfortable, if they know you well enough, it will make it a lot easier.
Yeah, it's great sound advice. So, Steve, outside of healthcare marketing, what are some things that you like to do that help you balance the work life? Can't be healthcare marketing all the time.
That is important. Because we work hard, we often work really long hours, and it can be very stressful, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking of how we've had some emergencies I dealt with. Like, I'll give you just one quick example. I was working at a hospital where the hospital actually caught on fire. And I was a designated public information officer. And so you're just rambling. You're trying to help with media relations. You're trying to deal with the community. And, of course, your patients. How are you communicating with caregivers? And so communication was such an important part. It was crazy. So what I do to keep that and try to maintain some kind of balance is I escape as often as I can to Lopez Island. And that's a beautiful area where you have pristine shorelines, and it's only about an hour and a half north of Seattle, and enjoy boating, hiking, and mountain biking. And another way, too, for me personally, is that I'm on a quest to try as many kinds of hard cider as I can. And that always proves to be very interesting.
Ambitious goal.
Yeah, keep the bar low sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, well, it'll always stay interesting, right? Because it seems like that's an endless goal. Something new
that's
is always coming up in the hard cider world. So.
Oh, yeah, and there's so many different styles. You can't really say you've tried them all until you've really tried them all.
Right, yeah, seriously. So I would like to ask you actually a few questions for our KISS segment, which is Keep It Short and Sweet. And it's just to get an idea who you are as a person. So we're just going to keep this short and sweet. So what is your favorite word?
I would say innovation.
What's your least favorite word?
Empty.
Yeah. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food really would be anything new when I travel internationally. Even if I don't know what it is, and it looks scary, that's right.
Yeah, it's like don't ask what it is until after you've tried it, right?
Exactly. You may regret the answer, right?
Yeah, all right. You keep an open mind. What's your least favorite food?
Oh, hands down, cooked cabbage.
Ooh, I don't blame you on that one. So what's the first thing you think of when you wake up?
You know, lately it's been what's going on politically at the national level. That's probably
bad. That's a lot to think about when you first wake up. So then what do you think about right before you close your eyes to go to sleep?
Oh, that's so random. I don't know if there's really even a pattern. I guess it's just of if there's a deadline coming up or something fun I'm looking forward to, and then I fade off to oblivion.
Makes sense. What profession would you be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing today?
It'd probably be launching a hard cider company, although I am attempting to do that right now. I'm at the early stage of going through that as something I can do on the side, in addition to a full-time normal job.
Oh, right on. Well, then, I always like this question. If you could have lunch with anybody, who would it be? Outside of a friend, of course.
Yeah, so mine's going to be probably more unrealistic, but it would be the Dalai Lama from Tibet. And I'm not a Buddhist, I just find the religion especially interesting.
I'd have to agree with you on that one. And so then we'll end this on who do you admire and somebody that influences you and motivates you?
Probably rather traditional.
Could be anybody.
Answer. Yeah, but who comes to mind would be my parents, and primarily because they instilled some core values in me at a young age that are still with me today.
I think that's a great answer. And I'd have to agree. Well, Mr. Steve, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to talk with us today. I think that we've hit on some really, really helpful tips, and I really appreciate you offering that information.
You're welcome. I'm glad to. Hopefully it'll reduce the stress or the frustration level for others.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
This is the latest issue of Marketing Mouths, and we'll talk with you soon.